Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning on the sixth Sunday after Epiphany. My name is Jim Kless, and I will be leading you this morning as we worship and sing praise to our God. We hope you feel as if you are here with us in person. We certainly hope you are blessed as you hear the good news of God's love for you. Our order of worship is Divine Service 2 on 158 in the Lutheran Worship. Please join us now as we sing our opening hymn, Praise to the Lord Almighty, hymn 444 in Lutheran Worship.
Good morning. The Lord be with you. Blessings and greetings to you in the name of Jesus. It's good to be with you, to worship with you this morning. We are following the order of service as it's printed before you in your worship bulletin. Nothing out of the ordinary in the service itself. However, I'm going to direct your attention real quick to the new cards that are in the pews. I kind of mentioned them last week. So there are new communion/attendance cards that are in the pews. All right, so if you take a look at it, they're very similar to the old communion cards. You're going to fill out your name, put the date on there for us. We don't need your email and that kind of stuff unless you're visiting with us. But what you're going to do every week now is fill one of these out. Every week, if you're a member, you click the member section, right? And that will help us keep attendance on a regular basis. If it is a communion week, as it is today, you'll click the member. And if you're intending on communing, the little box where it says, I am baptized, I've been instructed, so on and so forth. All right? On communion weeks, the card will be collected just as it always has been. The elders will take it as you come up for communion. On those non-communion weeks, you can drop those cards inside of the offering plate, or you can drop it in the back of the church. You'll see the little sign in the back. All right? That's it. I don't know what else to say about it. So I'm going to get into what I do know what to say. Let's worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake he forgives us of all our sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I therefore forgive you of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Worthy is Christ the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. This is the feast of victory. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, mercifully hear our prayers, and having set us free from the bonds of sin, defend us from all evil. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, now and forever.
The lector this morning is Karen Schaefer. May God open our hearts to receive the word he speaks to us through Karen.
first reading is from Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join in the responsive reading of Psalm 32 as printed in your worship bulletin.
Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance.
The second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, you are not worldly. You are not acting like mere humans. For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God, who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternity.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 21 through 25.
Glory to you, O Lord.
You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Having heard God's word, we confess our faith together now in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. Third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please have a seat.
Please join us now as we sing our sermon hymn, The Law of God is Good and Wise, hymn 329 in Lutheran Worship. This is Your Hour with God, broadcast on tape delay from St. John's Lutheran Church, Dubuque, New York, at exactly 1300 on your AM dial, Radio WXRL.
The law of God is good and wise.
Light of holiness impart the knowledge.
dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that I chose for the sermon this morning is from Psalm 32, verses 1 through 7. That's a responsive reading that we read just a little while ago, and I will refer to a portion of that psalm once again in just a little while. Philip Yancey and a colleague of his once shared what I think to be a very powerful story, which I want to share with you right now. I think that it serves as a remarkable lead-in to the theme that we can find in Psalm 32. So here's in part what Yancey wrote. "It isn't uncommon for amputees to experience what's called phantom limb pain. Somewhere locked in their brains, a memory lingers of that non-existent hand or leg. Now, for a few, the experience, it includes pain. Doctors, well, they watch helplessly as a part of the body that no longer exists screams for attention. Now, in most cases, the pain and the discomfort, it fades away after some time. Well, there was this patient. His name was Mr. Barwick. Now, Mr. Barwick had this serious and painful circulation problem in his legs. And unfortunately, the only option for him, the only option that the doctors had, was to remove the leg. Now, that removal would ultimately bring some relief to him. But at first, Mr. Barwick, he refused. But eventually, as that pain grew and grew and it got worse and worse, he had no choice. He finally was left with no other option. And so that surgery was scheduled. But before the surgery took place, Mr. Barwick, well, he had this very strange request. You see, he wanted to preserve his leg. Sounds kind of gross. But he wanted to preserve it. He wanted to hold on to it. You see, because it caused him so much pain, what he wanted to do was place it on his mantle, sit in his armchair, and taunt it right back. You see, he felt if he held on to it long enough, then he would be able to, I guess, one-up that leg. Well, the surgeon granted him his wish. But Mr. Barwick was surprised. The leg that he insisted on holding on to, the leg that had caused him so much pain, continued to cause him pain. You see, Mr. Barwick ended up suffering from phantom limb in the worst, worst way. Now, in time, the wound would heal, but there was still this immense pressure, and there was no relief at all. You see, Mr. Barwick had hated his leg with such intensity, and that refusal to let it go, his inability to be done in a mysterious way, ended up lodging that pain permanently in his brain. You know, Mr. Barwick's story, phantom limb pain and his failure to let it go, I think provides for you and me a powerful insight when we hold on to things When we hold on to sin, when we hold on to those hurts that we've experienced in our lives. And how we do that sometimes, don't we? How we can hold on to things sometimes. Maybe it's when we find ourselves stuck in our ways, stuck in some sort of sinful lifestyle. How we can resist removing it from our lives. And when we engage in it, maybe we try to cover it up. Or maybe we try to justify why we're doing it. Even though we know it's not good for us or good for others, how we try to defend it rather than coming clean. And then there are those times when we do the complete opposite of that. We hold on to our own past sins, our own wrongdoings. Our conscience goes in overdrive. We obsess. The bitterness towards ourselves because of what we had done in the past is so strong that we conclude that we're unforgivable. There's no way we could let it go. And how that impacts our lives. And how that impacts our relationships too. And then of course there are those times when we hold on to the sins of others. We refuse to forgive. We refuse to forgive those who have acknowledged their sin and their wrong to us. Or we refuse to forgive for our own sake. Do you know what I mean by that? When I say we refuse to forgive for our own sake? Sometimes we're not always given the opportunity to hear the confession of another person. Sometimes people can just dig their heels into the ground and refuse to acknowledge their wrong, right? You know what I'm talking about? And how we hold on to that. And what we need to do is to let it go for our own sake. We need that weight to be lifted. And sometimes that's the only way that healing can come to us. How we can hold on. How we can hold on to those sins that others have done, though. How we can build walls. How we can convince ourselves that we're going to use past hurts to our advantage. We're going to taunt like Mr. Barwick. We're going to one up. We're going to get those who hurt us. We're going to get them back. You just wait. Either which way. Holding on to sin, refusing to let things go, holding on to grudges, it just causes more hurt, doesn't it? It cripples us. And before we know it, things are intensifying all the more the longer we hold on to it. Sin is powerful. Sin hurts us. It hurts others. We know it. And yet how, like Mr. Barwick, we hold on to it when we know we just need to let it go. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. That's what David declared. You see, David knew the power of sin, didn't he? David knew it real well. But David also knew the power of God. Now, there is no denying There is no denying that sin is powerful when we hold on to it. But the greater reality for you and me is that God's power can crush it when we let it go. You see, my friends, our great and our powerful, all-powerful God, He went to the greatest extremes for you and me to demonstrate the power of His love and the power of His forgiveness for our lives. You remember John 3:16, right? Let's see if we can do it from here. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. See, sin was so powerful, and it had such an impact on our lives and our relationships that God had to step into action. He had to do something about it. And He did. He gave us His Son, our Jesus, just as He promised. Remember when sin came into the picture all the way back in Genesis? God made a promise all the way back then that said, I'm going to do something about this. Right? I'm going to send somebody, the offspring of a woman, and He's going to crush the serpent's head. He's going to crush sin. He's going to defeat sin. God gave to us His Son. And this our Jesus, He suffered, He died, and He rose for you and for me. Why? To forgive us. To reconcile us. To move us to newness of life. And just as we have received that forgiveness and that life from our God in Christ Jesus, how that rolls over into our own lives. How our God, how He wants for you and me to apply this same model to our relationships right here, right now. You see, restoration and healing, they're within our reach when we grab by faith, trust in God's power to reconcile and restore. The truth is, when we hold on to sin, whether a sinful lifestyle, a refusal to forgive others, or an unwillingness to forgive for our sake, when we hold on to any of those things, what we end up doing is hindering and getting in the way of God's amazing work for our lives. You see, God's in the business of working newness of life. And how He wants for that newness to come to you and to me through the power of repentance and forgiveness. But here's the deal. In order for that to happen, we have to come clean. We have to let it go. Sin is powerful when we're stuck in it. But God is bigger. Always. And there is power, unbelievable power, in His forgiveness when we let go, when we repent, when we forgive. And that's when healing can begin. That's when joy can be found in the Lord and not in the things or lifestyles that have defined or consumed us. That's when the weight that has exhausted us can be lifted. That's when fear and guilt can give way to peace. That's when the rebuilding can begin. Rebuilding with God and rebuilding with each other. That's when we can begin to see the value of one another, just as God intends for it to be. You know, our time here is so short, isn't it? When you really think about it, when you weigh it up against eternity, our time here is so very short. And so the experiences and the opportunities that we have here should be taken advantage of to the fullest. And so many times, or oftentimes in our lives, we can be so hung up on things. So many things can consume us. So many things can get in the way of our relationships. So much that we can miss out on the blessing that God calls us all to be to one another. God wants for you and me to be able to enjoy each other, to enjoy the blessings that He's given to us on this side of His kingdom. God wants us all to be at peace with Him and with one another. God wants for us to be reconciled. You know, I'm convinced that the two hardest phrases for us to say in life are, "I am sorry," and "I forgive you." Would you agree? It's tough. But I am equally convinced that they are the two most important things we can say to one another. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. If something's weighing on your heart, if you're holding on to something today, now's the time. Let it go. Be free. Forgive. Be restored. Find life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The congregation's offerings are now being gathered by the ushers. This morning's radio broadcast is sponsored by the Hensel family, in memory of our parents, grandparents, and siblings, until we meet again in our eternal home.
Your brother's name?
Tom.
Tom, okay. harvest of the seeds that were sown, that we may be fed with the bread of life. Gather the hopes and the dreams of all, unite them with the prayers we offer now. Grace our table with your presence and give us a foretaste of the feast to come. In addition to those who are printed in the prayers in your worship bulletin, please say a special word of prayer for Leanne and R.J. Neiman and the good folks over at Pacer Funeral Home at the death of Todd Pacer. Todd would be Leanne's cousin, but Todd was also one of the funeral directors over at Pacer. So if you had any involvement over the years with Pacer Funeral Home, you most certainly would have met Todd. But Todd died after really a short illness. He was, I believe, 54 years old. So please keep Leanne and RJ especially in your prayers as they mourn his passing. If you would also say a special word of prayer for John and Nancy Sweeney. It did please our Lord this past week to call home to himself John's brother Tom. God called his brother Tom home. And so, of course, there is great rejoicing in heaven this week as another saint has joined that great cloud of witnesses. And so we rejoice in the gift of new life that Tom has, the grandest of reunions in God's presence and in the presence of all those saints. But we certainly know the weight that that death can bring on us here. And so we pray for you, John and Nancy, and the rest of the family in your time of grief, that God would continue to fill you with comfort and hope and peace. We pray. Gracious God, you have established your church through your word and called a people to wear your name and do your bidding. Guard her against all false teaching and provide to her faithful pastors to preach your word and administer your holy sacraments. Give to us church workers who will serve us in your name according to their gifts and your purpose. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Holy Lord, you have set before us life and good, death and evil. Grant to your people faith in Christ our Savior and the desire to keep your commandments, loving you above all things and loving our neighbor as your Son has loved us. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed Lord, you sustain hope through the ages by raising up prophets and priests. Give your spirit and wisdom to those now preparing for full-time church work. Help us to encourage young men to consider the pastoral vocation and young women to serve as deaconesses, directors of Christian education, and teachers. Bless also the seminaries, the colleges, and schools where church workers are being trained for your service. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty Lord, your power is greater than the works of man. Guide and direct those whom you have elected to serve us on all levels of government. Protect those who defend us against our enemies, and bless the emergency personnel who come to our aid in times of disaster and in times of need. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, you do not forget the poor or the needy. Help us to remember those who suffer any want or need, especially the homeless, victims of abuse, the widow, the orphan, and the unemployed, and help us to aid them with the manifold resources you have supplied. Lord, in your mercy. Healing Lord, you are our very present help in time of need. Deliver the sick in mind or body from their ills according to your mercy. Comfort those who sorrow and have mercy on those to whom death draws near. Especially today, we pray for Leanne and RJ. We pray for the Pacer Funeral Home family. We pray for John and Nancy and the rest of their family. We pray for all of those who are printed in our worship bulletin, our friends, our family members, and anybody else that we name before you in our hearts. Grant them the full measure of your consolation and love, whether in healing of their afflictions, strength to endure under trial, or the perfect healing of the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. Loving Lord, your Son has set his table in the presence of our enemies. Help us to know the comfort and the strength of his presence as we feast upon his body and blood in this blessed sacrament. By this communion, grant us the gifts needful that we may be strengthened in faith and perfected in holiness until the day of his coming in glory. Lord, in your mercy. Generous Lord, you have given to us gifts and graces more than we deserve and far beyond what we dare to ask. Give us grace so that we may share your blessings with those in need. Supply the resources to enable your church to do your bidding and support the mission endeavors of your church both near and far. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal Lord, we recall with thanksgiving those who have loved your appearing and who have departed this life in faith. Today, we especially remember Todd and Tom. Encouraged by your favor toward them and their faithfulness to you, we pray you to keep us in fellowship with them and at last to bring us with them to the marriage supper of the Lamb in your kingdom, which knows no end. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Almighty and everlasting God, you know before we pray the needs of your people. Hear our prayers, for we trust in you to grant to us all things needful for this body and life, and to bring us to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame death in the grave and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and with archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore appraising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth. In mercy for our fallen world, you gave your only begotten Son, that all those who believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. We pray together now as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. And also with you. As we've received God's peace into our hearts and our minds, let's take a moment and share an expression of peace with one another.
As those who are worshiping now turn to one another and exchange the church's ancient greeting of the peace of the Lord, the pastor and members of St. John's ask God to send his peace into your hearts as well. The peace that God gives us is a peace beyond human understanding and a peace that is eternal. Pass His peace on to someone else today. As the people of St. John's come forward to the altar to receive the assurance of Christ's forgiveness and strength for the days ahead through the sacrament of Holy Communion, the congregation will sing three hymns. The first hymn during the distribution of the sacrament is "O Bless the House," hymn 467 in Lutheran worship. The people of St. John's are glad you have joined with us in worship this morning. St. John's Church is located in the center of Depew, one block northeast of the intersection of Transit and Broadway, at 67 Litchfield Avenue. As Lutherans, we believe that we are being saved by the grace of God alone, that we know about the grace from Scripture alone, and that God's grace acts in and to us only through our faith. Please worship us in person in the near future. Our building is handicapped accessible. If you would like more information about St. John's or about our faith as Lutheran Christians, please write to us. We also welcome your comments and suggestions about our broadcast. If you would like to help sponsor one of our broadcasts, we welcome your support. Write or call our church office for information. Our address is 67 Litchfield Avenue, Depew, New York, 14043. You can also email us. Our email address is secretary@sjcdepew.com. This is your announcer, Jim Kless, wishing you God's protection and care for the days ahead. Please join us now as we sing our second communion hymn, "Take My Life, O Lord, Renew," hymn 404 in Lutheran worship. Thank you.
Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for you. And now may this, your Lord's true body and blood, strengthen you and keep you in the true faith from now to life everlasting. Depart in his joy and in his peace. Amen. Your Lord's true body and blood strengthen you and keep you in the true faith from now to life everlasting. Depart in joy and his peace. Savior Jesus Christ. Now may this your Lord's true body and blood strengthen you and keep you in the true faith from now to life everlasting. Depart in his joy and in his peace. Amen. Thank you.
invite you to please stand for the post-communion prayer. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. We implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, now and forever. My friends, receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Stand up for Jesus as soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army he shall lead. Till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. Stand forth in mighty conflict, in this his glorious day. Let all his faithful serve him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength. Please have a seat for a quick moment. Good morning again. Good to be with you. Good to worship with you this morning. A very special word of welcome to guests and visitors who are here with us this morning.
how blessed we are to have you here, and I hope it's a blessing for you to be here this morning. Very good to see Dawn. Dawn's with us. Dawn's back with us. We prayed for you the last couple of weeks, Dawn, and it's so good to see you back in church and looking good, and looks like you're recovering well and all is well. So all praise to God for that. Well, we're glad you're here. So and your sidekick there too. So anyway, welcome back. Announcements. This coming Friday is our spaghetti dinner, annual dinner, anniversary kickoff. So if you're interested in tickets, they are being sold in the back of the church. You can see Michael get tickets for you. They're $5 a piece. So we hope that that you can be with us. The basement. We don't want to call it the basement anymore. It's too nice to be called the basement, Larry. So the grand hall. I don't know. Whatever we come up with. The work is just about done down there. If you haven't seen it, it's just remarkable. So Larry has worked tirelessly. Guy was helping out tirelessly these last couple of weeks. And then of course you had solicited help in family. His brothers were there nonstop as well to get everything done and ready for us for this week. So very, very special thanks to Larry and Guy and everybody else that has helped out with getting that room all set for us. So we are ready to go, and we even got a new refrigerator out of it. Yeah, the refrigerator came in this week, and the refrigerator was completely defrosted. Compressor wasn't kicking on, so the refrigerator took a big fat death. So we did get a new refrigerator, and pretty sharp, pretty cheap too. So, but anyway, we're good to go for Friday. So see Mike if you want tickets. We are moving toward Lent. Next week is Transfiguration, so that's the last in the Epiphany season, and then the following week will move us into the Lent season. So this is going to be the end of the reflections on the Psalms for a little bit anyway, as we'll start moving back into some seasonal stuff on the next couple of weeks. So I hope you have been enjoying the Psalms. We will revisit them once we get through the seasonal stuff over the next couple of months. Lenten devotionals, it's not too late. If you want to place an order for those, there is a sign-up sheet up on the bulletin board, so just let us know. I don't know if you noticed or if you saw the news broadcast, but Bangert's is officially closing at the end of the month. It was on, I think, Channel 4 News this past week. We have been serviced by Bangert's for a long, long time, but I kind of got wind that Bangert's was gonna be closing. And so back at mid-January, whatever it was, we shifted and went with Petals to Please. And that's who's been providing the flowers for us for the last number of weeks. But I just want to make a point to just acknowledge Bangert's and what they have been for us all these years. Floral arrangements, of course, have been beautiful, always been beautiful by them. But that's a new season for Mrs. Bangert. So keep her in your prayers. I'm sure it's heavy when you have to say so long for something that has been a big part of your life for a long, long time. But it's also exciting for her. And so we rejoice with her and wish her a very happy retirement. If you feel inclined and want to send her a card, I bet you she would just adore that and love that. But if you want to send her a card on behalf of St. John's, thanking her for everything all these years, I'm sure that would be great. So I think that's it. I feel like, oh no, one more thing. I set the adult information class for March 3rd. It has been on the burner for a long, long time. I believe March 3rd is a Thursday evening. I'll do it at 7 o'clock. For anybody that is interested in becoming a member of St. John's, let me know. I have you on my, I think I did a pretty good job at keeping track of everybody. You will get a letter this week. But if there is anybody, just, you know, again, I may have missed somebody along the way, so make sure you just mention to me that you are interested so I can make sure that you're on that list. But again, that new member class is going to be,
on March 3rd. I believe it's a Thursday evening at 7 o'clock for anybody that might be interested in that. Okay? Anything else for the good of the group? Oh, Betty, yeah. There's a little write-up with some pictures up on the bulletin board from Paradise, California. If you remember, a number of months back, we supported the congregation, our Missouri Synod congregation in Paradise, which happens to be Betty's sister's congregation. It was devastated by fire. So there's an article that the church sent to us. It's up on the bulletin board. If you want to take a look at it, it shows you pictures. I haven't looked at the pictures, but Betty mentioned that everything burned but the cross. So isn't that something? Go figure, right? It's the same thing. I remember post 9/11 at the World Trade Center site. I don't know if you remember this or not, but when all the rubble came down during 9/11. There was a cross out of the beams, and it was actually kind of sheltered, and that became a haven place for first responders. The chaplains would kind of hang out in that area and do prayer services and things like that. But out of all of that destruction, there was the cross that stood. I had it hanging in the office for forever. But anyway, no surprise that the cross is not the cross. Of course, is not destructible. So. Just because of who it represents, it's Christ, and that's our hope, that's our power. So check that out. It's up on the bulletin board. All right, everyone, have a blessed week. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.